Welcome to the Open Hearted Podcast. Hello and welcome to the Open Hearted Podcast. I'm your host, Will Wheeler, joined with my main man, Photon John. What's going on, Kev?
Got my 10,000 steps in, getting healthy and whatnot.
Nice. Do you know what I was stoked about, man? Yeah. That we remembered not to to have it not on repeat.
Yeah, that was
it's just so easy to do, man. Yeah. It's so easy to do, man. But crazy. Well, it's good to see you again. Another fortnight where we're here on the podcast. And I tell you what, I want to shout out to everyone who's been listening recently. We've had a lot of cool people reaching out to us recently, some really cool chats we've been having. We've had a few people even reach out to come on the podcast, which has been really cool as well. So I'm a bit overwhelmed, Photon John. What about yourself, brother?
Yeah, I mean, we've been booked really solid. We haven't really had to work too hard to find guests for a year and a bit now.
Can I say something on that, right? Yeah. Now, if there's people who are listening from LinkedIn now and you're someone who, because I get like all of these messages, right? From people saying, hey, look, if you team up with me, I can get you quality guest. Don't worry about it, brother. All right. Do not bother messaging me. We have plenty of guests. We are chock-a-block full of guests. Please stop filling my inbox with junk. we're sick of it. You know what I mean? But anyway, cool. But I tell you what, Kev, before we came on, you said you had some really interesting news that you've sort of just found out recently. Did you want to share with our guests?
Yeah. So the for those who don't know, I'm autistic, diagnosed autistic, and I've recently been going through the hoops to find out if I might have ADHD as well, which I do. That's official.
You do. It's official, yeah. So, say that, ADHD. So, I'm just writing something down. So, you would be classed as like, I think it's like ADHD. Is that how it's sort of pronounced?
Some people have been throwing that term at me, and I don't really, I don't care. But it's good to have the last piece of the puzzle. I think in particular, we delved a lot into schooling and stuff. And I knew school was difficult because of autism in certain ways, but that didn't quite answer all the questions. So going through all the questions for the ADHD made, the autism diagnosis made everything make sense my whole life at that point, but this just filled in all those last gaps. I'm like, okay.
And I
really understood that sense that you've spoken of before, of sort of being shoveled into a system that really isn't built for you, that kind of fails you, because I suddenly saw in even more detail how much, I just wasn't built to work in the educational system as it currently stands.
Well, you know what, Ryan? I think once you sort of have a bit of a clearer perspective on who you are, you're able to make clearer decisions. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? So, for example, now that, I didn't know I was ADHD until, over a year ago. I think it's been a year since I've known now. But that was the thing. It was just, I was sort of like, oh, my God, now I know why when I would do this would happen. Or when I did this would happen. I'm more mindful of it now.
Yeah.
And I'm able to go, oh, my God, I need this to be able to help me to achieve this. Or I can't go there until this. Or I need to do this before I go to this, if that makes sense,
Yeah.
And I think it does make a life a lot easier because you're not putting yourself into situations which at the time you didn't have any idea was a bad situation, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and I think it made it a little easier for me to let go of some things I'd been holding against myself. You know, I mean, the amount of report cards with, you know, doesn't apply himself equally across all, you know, parts of his education, and, you know, the attention stuff was brought up a bit. And, I can sort of stop beating myself up about that so much. Like, it's not a pass. I still need to manage it, you know, as best I can, but it makes sense.
Yeah, totally. And that's the thing. I think it is, like, when I think about, you know, I remember, like, when my school used to, like, post our report cards out to our parents.
You know?
The same with you, right?
Yeah,
man, I remember my mom, like, reading out my report cards, and, like, it was just like, I don't know. Yeah. You know, I would just sit there thinking, why are you even doing this? It's, you know, and, like, it was, and this was the thing. Everything that the teacher would say was the same as the next teacher and the next teacher and the next teacher. And it's sort of like, okay, well, if every teacher is sort of saying the same, isn't there, should we maybe change something here? All right, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But in saying that, that was a completely different time. That's going back over 20 years ago. Things are a lot different now. I'm sure we have a lot more better understanding of it now. And there's more people stepping up saying, hey, look, no, you can't, you know, when I was in school, I struggled like this. And they may be more aware that their son or daughter is struggling some form there because of something that they've done, if that makes sense.
Yeah, totally.
Cool. So what we might do, so today, actually, we haven't even spoken about the topic we're going to be covering. So today what we're going to be covering is who helps the helpers in social impact businesses. All right. Now, when we speak about that, so for example, for myself as a social impact entrepreneur, I'm, you know, it's not easy. It's definitely hard. And I know a lot of other people within who are social impact entrepreneurs. It's difficult. And a lot of the time I see them struggle with certain things. And, you know, we sort of want to talk about why some of those things happen. We also want to talk about a little bit about how we can potentially help these people or what we should do if we're a social impact entrepreneur. And, you know, we're going through a few things. So say if you're a neurodivergent person, for example, you know, depression and anxiety can play a huge role just in life in general. And how does that carry over and affect us as neurodivergent entrepreneurs with a social impact background? You know, so that's a little bit about what we're going to cover today. Kev, what are your thoughts on that one, brother?
Yeah, super important topic. I mean, I've been in business entrepreneurial sort of for a better part of a decade, but not in social impact. And with the certain things that you and I have been working to build together in the background, aside from this podcast, including the podcast, I've really sort of started to get a taste of that. And I always did wonder, I remember I asked Deb on our last podcast when we were talking about social workers, how, you know, that's a very emotionally intense field to be in, and so how do you get through that? So yeah, looking forward to expanding that conversation.
Well, it's actually interesting you say this, Kev, because even though you're not in social impact, the fact that you're, you know, because I think a big thing, especially with say a lot of say social impact entrepreneurs, a lot of the time, not all of them, but some can be the person themselves that are working towards that change. So what I mean is, let's say I struggle with mental health and I'm trying to make a charity, or I'm trying to create a non-for-profit or a, you know, social enterprise around mental health. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You're still going to struggle from time to time.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Because you've still got mental health and you're trying to put on this brave face and be all this. Now, the thing is for you, Kev, is you have your own challenges, but you just have it in a different area. So you might be able to relate to a lot of this stuff as well, if that makes sense.
Yeah. And to be fair, a lot of my clients over the years have been not through, but they've been like NDS providers and accommodation and that kind of stuff. So it's not to say that I haven't worked with it. And you know, again, you know, us two working together on everything we're working on, it's something I really want to get into, but I'm going to have to learn from this how to manage myself if we're going to do it.
Totally. So let's get stuck into this. But before we do, like we say always, please subscribe, like, and follow to all of our social media platforms. You can check us out on TikTok, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, which is now called X. I'm sort of waiting to see if they change it back to Twitter. I'm not sure if I should change that yet. We're also available on Twitch, YouTube, LinkedIn, and please subscribe to our website, which is openheartedsociety.com. Let's get stuck into this thing. So I don't think we need to talk too much about us, but who helps the helpers?
Yeah.
All right. And you know what? I think a really important thing, and this really stuck out to me. I remember, I think it might have been before the pandemic or around that time. Actually, I think it was in the – so I remember here in New South Wales, or I remember in Australia, we had a big period, I think it was 2020 when the pandemic kicked in, and then it sort of died down for a little bit, and then the pandemic kicked back up again, and that's when it got really bad, right?
Mm.
Now, I remember, I think it was in that period, the between period, that I really – got hit with some. I think we had just launched a Neurodiversity Academy, and we had had a big launch party, all of this type of stuff. And I remember I just got hit with some really severe depression. Yeah. I think what it was a lot of burnout. I was just working to the T, and I'm telling you, like, working for hours upon hours upon hours, and people would be like, man, you work so hard, Will. I cannot, my business partner was like, I cannot keep up with you. Do you know what I mean? Now, I remember reaching out to a really good friend of mine. So I used to go to a school called Cannon Hill Anglican College.
Mm-hmm.
And we had like a pastor there. And the pastor was called, oh, he still is, called Brother Donald. And Brother Donald, so up in Brisbane, there's actually like it's a non-for-profit called Epic Assist. And I think they do a little bit of stuff. They do a lot of stuff around disability, employment, all of that type of stuff. I think they're mainly based up in Brisbane. I think they have some things over in Scotland and a few other places in Australia. I'm just not 100% sure. But so he was my pastor, but I reached out to him just in relation to a few other things, and it was interesting. And I was telling him about some of the struggles I was having at the time, and he said, you know, I said, you know, I'm trying to build this business here. You know, it can sometimes be really lonely, and you know, I remember him saying, you know, who helps the helpers? You know what I mean? And it just hit the nail on the head. Who does help people like myself or other people in social impact businesses? You know, because it can be very hard. You know, business in general is difficult, even though, even when you're trying to build a social impact business, it probably can be even more difficult because you don't necessarily have the money coming in, or you need to find where that money's coming in and all of that type of stuff, you know. So, you know, what's some of your thoughts around that, what I've just shared with you, Kev? Do you have any?
I think systems-wise, there's not a whole lot in place, you know, at a societal level. But, you know, really what I'm finding is it's the community. Mm. And it's and I don't mean that, you know, I mean, we can probably get to the point of talking about, you know, managing your own mental health and stuff. But I mean, the support is really coming from within. You know, if you need some content to help you understand something, there's a, you know, dozen or so good, great YouTubers who are, you know, qualified and really know what they're talking about. The age of content, you can find stuff from Tony Atwood pretty easily. You don't have to go and find a paper somewhere, you know, like the old days. But I also just talking to people, you know, and I find just in the few years, you know, I've been sort of more aware of this. The openness is increasing, you know, it never used to happen 5 years ago that I would just go down to the pub and someone would be like, I saw you have a podcast. I'm, you know, autistic or I'm ADHD. People are just saying it openly. So I think that back and forth is a really integral part of it at the moment. And I think systems might come out of that. Because we've spoken before about how really with a lot of these solutions, we do need to work with neurotypical people, but it's kind of got to come from us. You know, we've got to drive those solutions.
Yeah, definitely. You know, I think this is where having your support network is huge.
Yeah.
I think the hardest thing is, especially in, and it's not just social impact businesses, it's business in general. It can be lonely.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It can be lonely. Like, I have a lot of people reach out to me and they're like, oh man, you're doing such great work. And for me, it's sort of like, okay, that's great. Thank you so much. I love when people say that.
Yeah.
But to me, it's like, man, I don't feel like I'm making any impact. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
And being neurodiverse by itself can be lonely, you know, being neurodivergent. So add being a business owner to that, where you can feel even more isolated because you won't know a lot of people. That's why knowing you has been so helpful for myself. Yeah.
I got to admit, like, I probably know more people in business than what I actually have as friends.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Because, like, a big thing for me, and I've shared this a lot, was especially when I started to really get into business, I had to get rid of a lot of old people I used to hang around with. I couldn't do the beer, the drinking Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday night. I couldn't be taking drugs every now and then or whatever, pardon me. And that's what you've got to do when you're in business. So when you don't have that anymore, it can become very lonely, if that makes sense. And then that loneliness can actually carry on in to your personal life. Like, my wife and I, we don't have kids. So I think a big thing as well is a lot of what I sort of learned is that, you know, when you have kids, it can be quite social because you're going to go to your kids' things or whatever. You've got to do things to entertain them a lot of the time. But entertaining yourself can be really difficult, if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and I think sometimes when you make a shift of friend groups, you know, and whether it's healthy or not, you know, it's necessary sometimes. And, you know, you've got to try and build new friends who are unlike any other friends you've ever had. And you don't know how to do that. You know what I mean?
Yes. Yes. Yeah. That is the hardest thing, right? Yeah. Like, so I just recently started a thing called the Men's Table. Have you ever heard of the Men's Table?
Yes, yeah.
Okay, the Men's Table is actually a really good organization that's really doing some really great stuff around helping men get together and open up about their feelings and stuff like that. Mm. Now, the thing for me was I was sort of like, oh, okay, I might check it out, all of that type of stuff. I went to a few of them, but it just wasn't for me. Do you know what I mean? I'm pretty open with a lot of my I'm on a podcast talking about my feelings a lot of the time, if that makes sense. So I don't have that problem, but I found it really difficult being in a room where a lot of people were talking about all of that type of stuff. Like, it almost made my depression a little bit worse, if that makes sense. And I think, but do you know what? But in saying that, I think it works very well for the people who do attend those. But I found for myself, trying to find activities, because for me, I need excitement. I need things that really boost me, where my business can do that. But when you're in business, if you're spending too much time on that, it can actually be very bad in the long term. So you sort of need that time to get away. And this might roll well into our next part. Why is the health of the people important? Okay. And this is what we're talking about right now. You know, things like finding activities or finding people who are into similar stuff as yourself. That's the hard part. Do you know what I mean? Like, Kev, like, I know you've got your band, you've got some really cool things you do, but if you didn't have any of that type of stuff, what else would you do?
I honestly don't know. I had kind
it's
of
hard,
prepared,
right?
Yeah. I had kind of thought about preparing for a different stage in life before this band, because I had quit my old band and I was thinking, okay, I'm, you know, in my 30s now, I might wrap this up. I've had fun. And then, got, you know, like Godfather, just when I thought they were out, thought I was out, they pulled me back in. But, you know, you really got to think about what's important. But, you know, the other thing is a lot of those things, and especially when they're social and they're, you know, even if, you know, say your old lifestyle was toxic or something like that, it was your old lifestyle. You did have friends and they weren't all crap all the time, you know what I mean? Like, you had some level of friendship there. You've got to replace those things. So that's why I was like, okay, well, I'll focus on family, I'll focus on you know, my business, and I'll make new friends in new ways, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, it's definitely interesting, because the biggest thing I've found is trying to find this new me. If that means not a new me, but new things for me to do. So I tried, I remember, like, sorry, when I was back up in Brisbane, I remember I used to play like, it was called rebound volleyball. And I loved that. It was great. I loved it. But when I moved down here to Sydney, there aren't any really rebound volleyball places. There are volleyball places, but I would go there and try to, like, I suppose, start and try to meet people. And it was sort of like it wasn't the same. Do you know what I mean? And it was weird. So I then went to indoor cricket, and I sort of found that indoor cricket, man, I'm no, like, I'm still quite young, but I'm no, like, 15-year-old or 18-year-old anymore. And, man, I remember I was getting really bad injuries. I would have massive bruises all over me. And I'm like, dude, I'm only trying to do this for fun. And, like, it was sort of getting to a point where I was getting that injured that it wasn't fun, if that makes sense. I've tried volunteer stuff. I don't know. It's just so hard to sometimes find that thing that hobby. You know, sometimes I think, is my hobby my business? You know, I love it and it probably is, but I do need to have that thing to get away from that, socialize, because I live off social interaction. You know, that, and I know you say yourself, you enjoy being at home sometimes on your own, but for me, man, I need to be out. You know, I need to be out socially, like, interacting with people and stuff like that. That's like my dopamine hit, right? But trying to find what that is or where to do it, that's the difficult part, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and I can only really imagine, you know, the through my recent diagnosis we were talking about, we found that it's really the attention side of things that I have struggle with, and the hyperactivity side isn't really there, and that's possibly where the autism is balancing it out. So I quite like to be alone, and I have no problem being alone, but I'll you know, and I'll do the same thing for hours and hours and hours and be perfectly happy, you know. So there's that. But last year began running, just because I need to get cardio in. I'm not big on cardio and a lot of weights, but not that. Within 2 weeks, I was on crutches. You know,
man. Even when I walk, like I walk right, and I walk faster than some people run, and I was just finding I was getting some really bad. Like, where was I getting? Oh, like yeah, my legs and that. I have to like. I've learned now that I need to wear like proper like what do you call them? Like
knee braces. Sort of,
not knee braces, but like leg, like they're sort of like these elastic things that go over like your muscles and that, and they like hold the muscle together. Because if I don't, they're like a compression thing, right?
Yeah.
And it just holds them there, and like it just makes it so much better with impact, all of that. And it's funny because I see other people walking around with the same thing, and I'm like, now I get that. You know, I used to think back in the day, I'd be like, oh, what a wanker. You know what I mean? But now I'm like, now I get why that person does that.
Yeah, so I do that anytime I do any exercise now with that knee that I messed up. I put that on there. And I wear compression bandages around my wrists and elbows when I'm doing weights and stuff.
Yeah, I was getting some really sore wrists when I was, like, lifting weights and all that type of stuff, eh? Yeah. You definitely need that type of stuff. But, you know, this is the thing. This is where, you know, your health is really important. And I think the biggest thing that I've sort of found out is that when I have dealt with certain people who are in social impact businesses, or I've dealt with people who just had normal businesses who were neurodivergent, stuff like that. Like, I remember I had like an accountant, a few accountants, right? They were neurodivergent. And that was the reason I sort of wanted to go with them. But, you know, I know that these people were really struggling with some health things, right? Mm. And, you know, there was times where I had some really important stuff. I just couldn't get in contact with the person.
Mm.
They wouldn't get back to me. I'm thinking, what the hell's going on? You know what I mean? And I was getting big fines from, like, the ATO because I hadn't had stuff. I didn't even know what was going on. And I got to a point where I just had to say, okay, well, I've got to go. I just can't rely on you, you know. But in saying that, you know, I think it's really important that if someone is struggling, you should, and you said this before, having systems in place to be able to support that person through those periods, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess that speaks really well to the next point, which is, you know, the importance of reaching out.
Well, yeah, definitely, definitely, definitely. But can I just finish off with the systems part, right? Mm. A big thing with that is, right, so let's say we know that we struggle with mental health, okay? Mm. Is there someone who can take over our work while we're going through a period of downtime or burnout or whatever that is, okay? Because you've got to remember, when you're running a business, the business can't just stop. You need to, it needs to keep on going. Do you know what I mean? Because people are relying on you, all of those types of things. So what are some things you have in place? So, for example, when I was dealing with those accountants who were really struggling with some issues, what they should have really had in place was someone else who they could have said, look, I'm just down at the moment. I'm really going through some, here, deal with Kevin. He's going to look after all of your stuff for now. So it doesn't look bad on you as the entrepreneur. Do you know what I mean? Or business owner as such, if that makes sense. So let's move on into this next part, the importance of reaching out. What do you think we're talking about in that part there, based on John?
We've already sort of touched on it with the community side of things, I think, but it's as far as the importance of staying connected and you know, sometimes deliberately being mindful to be connected rather than just sort of knowing that they're there is really important. I don't mind saying I had a bit of a meltdown a few weeks ago that was quite bad. I've learned, and I've had to learn the hard way over many years, to reach out in the way that I did, because it feels, you know, especially if you're having a hard time, you can feel a bit like an exposed nerve, you know, sort of exposing that to people. But I learned a long time ago that things can escalate with my mental health quite quickly and suddenly. If I don't reach out, it can get quite bad. So no matter what else I'm thinking, I just know now to just send messages, even if they make no sense to people, and certain people know what's going on. So I think there's a difference between having a community there and being like, oh, that's great, and physically connecting yourself to that community willingly. Like reaching out just does help, however reluctant you might feel, however difficult it might seem. It just does help, and I've learned that the hard way, coming from someone who thought the exact opposite, you know, years ago.
Do you know what, right? There's actually two ways of looking at this, okay? So the importance of reaching out, so you reaching out to others and going, look, man, I'm really struggling. Can we hang out or whatever like that? Yeah. Then there's the importance of you reaching out to someone who you think might be struggling.
Totally.
Do you know what I mean? Because what can happen is, especially when you are, okay, a thought leader, you're really starting to develop in your career, a lot of people, pardon me, see you as the person that they get the inspiration from. Do you know what I mean? And it's sort of like, okay, well, that person, what about when they need someone? Are they going to be reaching out? They may not, because others are seeing them as that person. So a big thing with me a lot of the time is I do have a few people who reach out to me, but not as many as what you would think. Yeah. I think a lot of people do see me as this person, which is great because I've worked hard to become that person. But it's still, you know, I sometimes feel very lonely, if that makes sense. Now, I've got my wife who's brilliant and fantastic, but then there's probably other things where it's sort of, especially guys, you know, I don't have heaps of guy friends who reach out and go, hey, Will, let's go and watch the football, or hey, Will, let's just go out for lunch. Do you know what I mean? It's little things like that, which is really difficult. And the thing is, a lot of the time, I don't want to catch up with these people and, you know, dump my whatever's going on with me at the moment. I would just be happy to hang out and have a laugh and a beer or whatever like that. That's sort of my therapy, if that makes sense. Yeah. You know, but I think sometimes too is that reaching out and taking, you know, if you haven't heard from someone in a while, oh, gee, I haven't heard from Kevin in a while. Geez, I should reach out to him. You know what I mean? Because some people may not be the best at reaching out, if that makes sense, which can be a very ADHD thing as well.
Yeah, I have a friend, for instance, in this year, he's really gone through a lot, lost some family members and stuff. And, I know he's not a big talker, but I make sure to reach out when I can, and just ask how he's doing. He'll talk as much as he wants, and just make sure that he understands that I am here if he ever does want to talk. And I said straight up to him, look, you know, it's up to you to decide how much of not talking is healthy or not. You know, that's you know yourself. But just so you know, I am here the second you need to. And on a few occasions he actually has, and it was actually quite kind of beautiful, but very surprising when he did. And he actually did. We had a proper chat about how he was feeling and stuff, which, you know, in the many years we've known each other, has not happened very often, you know.
Well, do you know what, right? And this is just from my perspective, right? Sometimes I feel I'm a burden. Do you know what I mean? It's like, oh, gee, man, Kevin probably always gets sick. I'm only using you as an example. I'm not saying this as such, but it's like, oh, geez, Kevin probably thinks I'm a pain, always always messaging him, asking what's going on or whatever like that. But, you know, sometimes for me, it's just like, because I remember I had someone I reached out to not long ago and they're like, why are you so lonely? Because, like, I talk about loneliness a lot, right? Mm. And I talk about, because I think people don't realize that when you struggle with loneliness, it's not like you just are sitting on your own alone and all that. I'm married. My wife is awesome. But sometimes, obviously, in a relationship, you have different things you do. You know, my wife, she loves to go to the shops and just walk around by herself and look at clothes and touch dresses and all that. I hate that shit. Do you know what I mean? That's not me, you know. But, you know, I love going and chatting with someone or meeting someone new or whatever like that, you know what I mean? But trying to find people to do that, that's the hard part, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, there are times where I'm just texting people through Messenger or whatever, asking questions, trying to create conversations, and people are like, why are you so lonely? Because you're married. Does your wife know that you're lonely? It's like, yeah, my wife does know that I'm lonely, you know? And I think this is the thing. Loneliness isn't just like, loneliness can be so much different than just being on your own. It's a whole bunch of stuff. And it's the same within social impact as well, if that makes sense.
Loneliness is on the rise big time. You know, I've seen, I can't remember the numbers off the top of my head, but I've seen on the news lately, like a fair few studies coming out around, you know, people under 50 in particular, being quite lonely.
And, you know, I think the thing is, like, we see like social media these days, back in the day, right, you were probably like, oh, gee, I haven't heard much from Kevin recently. I might give him a buzz. But this day and age, we have social media, and it's like, oh, gee, Kevin looks really active. I always see his pictures up all the time. I know everything that's going on with Kevin. So maybe, you know, like, we don't make those phone calls or we don't interact as much anymore because it feels like we're always interacting because I like your picture. I comment on your whatever picture it is or whatever like that. So maybe we don't really interact or socialize as much now as what we used to. I don't know.
Yeah, I think, you know, social media does connect people, but it's on a pretty superficial level. You know what I mean? You're like, you don't feel like you haven't interacted much with Kevin if you've liked a few of his posts this week. You know what I mean?
Maybe.
And it's not that anyone knows that's superficial. It's just kind of because it's just subconscious. It's just in the back of your mind. Your mind, like you said, oh, I know what's going on with Kevin. I liked that post last week about whatever. So I think it's not a real deep connection. You know, whenever I delete Facebook, deactivate Facebook, which I do every now and then, I keep Messenger open. And I actually find that I just start having much more meaningful conversations with my friends because that's the only way to stay in touch is to actually have a conversation. So, yeah, I think you've got to be careful with mistaking social media connection for real connection.
Real life connection, yeah. You're a gamer, aren't you? You play a lot of games, right?
Sort of. I mean, I'm not like one of these people who jumps online and plays massively multiplayer games or anything like that. I just like to sit in my room by myself and.
The reason I ask is because what I find is that gaming this day and age is quite social. You know what I mean? Because I know so many people are like, oh yeah, man, I'm playing whatever, and they're like, my mate here and my mate over here, my mate is watching my base while I'm doing this or whatever. And I'm like, who are these people? And they're like, oh, you know, it's my mate over in the United States. Oh, it's my mate in Brisbane. Do you know what I mean? And I often contemplate buying like an Xbox or something like that just for the social aspect.
Well, those connections online can be much more meaningful. You know, our drummer, for instance, when we were rocking up at different towns all over Australia, I think it was Townsville we pulled into, and this group of people rocked up And he was just like, oh, yeah, this is my mate, blah, blah, blah. And they were talking about each other. But then he was like, oh, yeah, I've actually never met them in person before. So these people ended up coming to our gig because Clay's played games with them online for years and never actually met them.
Yeah, crazy.
So, yeah, that kind of stuff is a bit more meaningful because you have to talk and plan together and, you know, you have victories and losses together as a group. Kind of like what, you know, Minds at Play was talking about.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, yeah. So that's I would recommend that if you're looking to get a little social in that way.
Yeah, I'm just not really into, like, I love the concept of that, of what those guys are doing. Mm. But me personally, yeah. I'm just not, that's just not a thing I could see myself doing. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I could see myself playing a racing game and then talking to other people. While, because I'm into, like, you know, Formula One and all of that type of stuff.
Well, there you go. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, so I could be into that because a lot of those people might be into the Formula One as well. So yeah. That would, who knows?
Yeah. It's person by person. I hate the idea of socializing through video games. I want to sit, this is my alone time, you know, like play some big open world game and just run around and forget everything. For a few hours or whatever.
Yeah, that's cool. But like we said, each to their own, eh?
Yeah.
You know, each to their own, Now, this is funny because we were sort of like the importance of taking time out when in these situations. So like we were saying, like, you know, sometimes maybe we are doing a lot of stuff. You know, I do know, especially in business, it can be easy to just be working so crazy and so hard. And it was actually interesting because I had a meeting last Friday with it was actually a girl I used to go to school with, right? And she does a lot of stuff in regards to helping get sponsorship for, like, your business and you know, fundraising and all of that type of stuff and non-for-profits and social enterprises and all of that type of stuff, right? And I remember getting on it and I said, oh, I work from home on Fridays. And I said to her, I just take it so easy. Do you know what I mean? Now, I could be busting my ass at home, doing all this stuff, ripping out my hair, whatever. But now what I've really come to learn is it is important to take that time out. So, for Absolutely. Example, on a Friday, I'm not going to be up at the same time as what I do during the week. You know, I slowly get out of bed, make some breakfast, take it easy, and it just feels like this is why I like the new way of work. Do you know what I mean? Personally, I like the new way of work because – for one, I'm still able to go out and interact, all that, but then I can have my days where I can just slowly do my stuff and get it done, if that makes sense. It seems to be a lot better for my mental health.
Yeah, same. You know, COVID came with its challenges, but I got to say the first month and a half or whatever, I was so happy because I was just working from home every day. I could go to the shops and get nice food, and I was eating that. I was doing a lot more exercise and just able to work my work around myself and not the other way around. And I could have those days where I could get up out of bed a bit later or go to bed a bit later or finish work a little earlier if I needed to. And I was getting more work done, if I'm being honest, but so much more efficiently, and my mental health was so much better until it wasn't. You know, after when we hit about month two, month three, I started to go, I need, even I like people sometimes, and I really need some interaction. You know, but it did show me that you know, that's the way I run my business now, and if my clients don't like that, then I won't take them on. I have certain needs, and if I don't meet them, that's very bad for me and my mental health. So I'm sorry, but if that's less important to you than, you know, everything, then, you know, I can recommend other providers who you can work with.
Hey, look at this. Remember Martin from when, hey, Martin, what's going on? We are doing well. So Martin, so for our listeners who are listening through, Martin Griffin, who's in the UK, He always used to pop up on our podcast in the early days.
Yeah, on the train ride home.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, the train to work, man, because you've got to remember it's early.
To work, yeah.
So good to see you, Martin. I was wondering, Matt, what was happening with Martin. I thought, man, maybe we've frightened Martin away. All good. But you know what? What I found, especially through the pandemic, the first month was good because it was sort of like, holiday, you know? But when it I think what I found was the unknown. The unknown is scary because you're just like, I don't know when we're going back. Is this going to be for years? Am I going to be sitting here for years not being able to get back to wherever to see my family? Because Sydney was really locked down, but Queensland was still doing a lot of, you guys were able to move around a lot. It was a lot different up there, So I'm seeing all you guys doing stuff and I'm sitting at home, I'm only allowed to leave the house for an hour a day.
Yeah, I wouldn't say we were allowed to move around a lot. It didn't feel like a lot, but I know what you mean.
You had a lot more.
It was a lot more freedom. Yeah.
Yeah, we weren't allowed to leave for I think we're only allowed to leave for an hour a day or not even that. It was like prison. Not that I know what prison's like, but I'm assuming it would be something like that, you know? But all good. So sometimes we need to refuse what we take on. What does that mean? What do you think that means to you, Kev?
I've had to learn this a lot because for most of my business, and again, for those that don't know, I do marketing. I would work with agencies, and I would white label to their clients, and as in, I would pretend to be their employee. When you do that, no matter how clearly you set your boundaries in the beginning, there's going to come a time where they're just going to start treating you more and more like an employee. And the whole reason I have a business is because I don't work well in a forced, environment like that. I just can't work well like that in a 9-to-5 office environment and whatnot. So I was repeatedly ending up in these phases of burnout. And then my work would suffer and that relationship would suffer and everything would suffer. So I've had to learn to say no to any white labeling. It's a hard thing to admit, but there are some things that I just can't do. It's not like I'm incapable, but if I want to look after myself, I have to not do certain things. I have not put myself into certain situations. Do I have to pay a bit for that? Yes. Because I could take on one agency and have more than enough money to live with their clients. And now I have to sort of make sure I have enough of my own clients. I'm not in that situation, but I had to just learn to say no. And I had another offer from an agency recently. I just said, look, I've done this before. A client here or there, maybe, but I can't be your SEO guy or whatever. And I can't, you can't expect me in the office in some sort of rigid time frame or anything like that. There's a whole bunch of things I could go on forever. But I had to learn that because I was just on this cycle of just completely being burnt out and depressed, and repeating it, which is not good.
Sorry, is that someone beeping a horn out the front of your joint?
Potentially, yeah.
Okay. I'm like, it's either you or it's me. I really don't know. I can hear a horn beeping.
Yeah. How about you? What are you saying?
Yeah, man. I think, and with a lot of ADHDers, I think as well, it can be easy for us to get excited and wanting to take on all of these different projects and all that type of stuff. But, sometimes, and I'm really starting to get to a point now where it's just like, okay, I've got to step up and say, look, no, I can't do this at the moment, or no, where we have to do this. Or, I think as well, and I think we actually do talk about, I don't know if I put that in there, but my time is valuable. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? And I think a big thing, especially when I first got into, this is going back about 7 or 8 years ago now, especially in the neurodiversity space, there was a lot of time I would be doing, jumping on lunchtime things to speak with people. And when I mean, I would be presenting to like a huge big company, like in the United States or Australia.
And, on your lunch break.
Yeah. And wow. I wouldn't be getting paid for that, you know, or I would get invited to events to do something at an event. I wouldn't get paid for that. And, you know, what you got to think about if you're doing an in-person event, let's say it's in the city, I've got to, one, I've got to dress, you know, professionally. I need to get ready. I need to get on a train that's probably going to be packed with people. That's going to affect me. I'm going to have to find the place. I'm going to have to walk into a place with a whole bunch of new people that I probably don't even know. So your adrenaline's through the roof. That takes a big toll on you, you know. So, you know, I get to a point now that it's sort of like, okay, well, how much are you going to pay me? Do you know what I mean? And it has to be worth my time, you know. If it's like, oh, look, we'll give you this much, it's like, well, I'm not even going to get out of bed for that. You know what I mean? Because, you know, time's valuable. And I think a big thing as well is, depending on what you're doing with your time, can really have a big effect on your mental health, if that makes sense.
Yeah, which is why sometimes even if it is paid, you need to say no.
Yeah, totally.
Keep track of your energy reserves and where your emotional level is at.
Do you know what, right, which is quite funny, I've had some people reach out to me and say, hey, look, we've got this happening. So I've, like, charged ridiculous amounts of money. And they're like, yeah, no, that's fine. Because, you know what I mean? I'm thinking, oh, man, I didn't really want to do this.
Hey, don't say that on the podcast.
Yeah, stuff it, man. But, like, look, if people want to pay me for my time, yeah, that's cool. So, but to tell you the truth, some of those gigs that I've done and got to pay really good money for it, they actually turned out pretty good anyway. You know, I think the hardest thing for me back when I was younger was I would expect something. I would do a lot of these free things and I was sort of expecting that something was going to come from that, where a lot of the time they don't, you know, or it could, like, for like now what I'm finding is that a lot of people are reaching out to me. I am the go-to guy. I am the neurodiversity guy sometimes in some people's eyes, right? And that's good because I've worked hard to build this brand. And I suppose that's sort of where I'm seeing a lot of that hard work at the beginning pay off. But a lot of that hard work at the beginning, I was like laid out, like struggling with my mental health big time, if that makes sense, you know? But, yeah, definitely. So where can you find out more? Oh, sorry. What am I doing? Sorry, I think I've missed something.
That's last podcast.
Yeah. I must have put the wrong thing. Now, what can trigger some of our pressures, do you think?
I think we've covered a lot of that, but I was just thinking before about overextension because you care. Which is a good reason to be putting in work to something because you care about the work, or you might care about the person or the people that you're trying to help. And that is essential to social impact work, I think. But you've got to be careful not to overextend yourself because you're no use to those people if you're not in a good if you're not in good shape. You know.
Well, that's the thing. Right? Like, yes, I do want to help people, but once again, my time is valuable. Do you know what I mean? Like, if I'm having a meeting with like a huge company and they're sort of like, oh, gee, we don't know if we can, you know, we really want to help these people, but we don't have the money to really put into it. You're sort of like, rack off.
You know what I mean? I was waiting to see what you'd say.
You know what I mean? Like, don't give me that shit.
Yeah.
Because, like, I know you've got the money there. You know, if this is a problem, don't waste my time. Yeah. So, you know, that can trigger some things sometimes because you're sort of getting, because sometimes what can happen, especially in the lead up to say trying to build something, there will be a lot of talk and there will be a lot of this stuff. And it's sort of like you've put in all of this hard work and then nothing's come of it. Do you know what I mean? That's where it can be really difficult.
Yeah.
You know, so I think as well at the beginning when you're first starting out in business, you can be very vulnerable to that.
Yeah.
And I think it's very, you know, and you know what else can be really bad as well? You know, you might have a really great vision, right? And you see similar people to yourself in doing lots of great things in the, we'll say, neurodiversity space, but, you know, maybe they're not at, you know that you could be, and I'm not trying to blow smoke up my ass here, but you know you could be doing better than some of the stuff they're doing, or you don't like the way they're doing stuff, but all the business is going to them, and it's sort of like, man, like, I feel like I'm putting in so much hard work and I'm getting nothing in return. That can be hard.
Yeah, that I can relate to for sure.
Yeah, totally, man. You know, but, you know, I think the thing is as well, or you know what, or there's some big companies that have some big names behind them and you're just like, man, like, and you can see that they're doing like things that might be against what you're working towards, and you're like, man, you guys are, you know, you have some famous person saying all this stuff, and it's like, mate, you're up there sharing all this stuff, but you're saying the opposite of what we're trying to work towards.
Yeah,
that's hard to take, you know what I mean, when you're really trying to work towards something.
That's you know, where you need to prioritize your energy, where you're going to put it.
Yeah, totally, man. And this is where we sort of got to come back to, I think resilience is definitely a big thing, having that support network. So this is probably works well into what we're about to say now. Mm. What are some things to do to help us? Do you know what I mean? So your support network's key. I think as well, building a team. I know with Neurodiversity Academy, you know, when that first started, really it was sort of just me, and then I reached out to my business partner who came on board, and then we've grown in other areas, and you know, we've got some really good stuff. You know, you can never do anything on your own. You definitely need those people around you to be able to help you in these different situations, you know. So this is where your team plays a huge role. Being open and honest about certain things as well. You know, I know with my team, I'd be as open as, and I'm straight down the line with a lot of stuff. If I'm not happy about stuff, I will definitely say something. But we never really have any full big problems because we are pretty open about it and all of that. And the cool thing with my team as well is our vision is all the same. Do you know what I mean? We're all on the same wavelength, and that takes so much pressure off. Like, seriously, like with Neurodiversity Academy, I'm doing some stuff that you probably can't see it, like, if you're listening, but if you can see on my wall here for the people who are viewing the videos, I've got, like, post-it notes and all this stuff. These are courses I've got to develop. There's something like 30-something courses. You know what I mean, man? I'm not shitting myself, but it's sort of like, man, that is a lot of work.
That's a lot of it, yeah.
You know
what I mean? Where you know, I was going to say before, I think an important thing with regards to helping ourselves and others is clear boundaries, not just with who you're going to work with, but yourself. So, like, understanding your own limits and setting some boundaries with yourself And, you know, I found no matter how good I think I'm feeling, my feelings tend to jump to creep up on me very quickly without me realizing. So no matter how good I'm feeling, I know to which extent I can do something before I should probably give my brain a break my socializing a break and just take some time out, because if I don't, it'll pile up later. I'm still figuring out how to do it better, but I think setting boundaries both with the people in your life and your work, who you're working with, and yourself is really important.
That's why, my wife, like, she has Monday, Tuesday, Wednesdays off work, and I work like Thursday, Friday, Saturday. She is working Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I usually have Friday. I work from home on Friday most days, and then Saturday, Sunday, I'm at home, right? So obviously we're doing the podcast right now, but probably tomorrow, maybe once she gets home, I think she's out like doing some window shopping and all that. Having our time together is gold. Do you know what I mean? It's just so good to just talk about shit and, you know what I mean, not have to worry about all the stuff that's going on with business or life or whatever like that, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Cool. Can you think of anything else, my man?
I think that's pretty good. Also, happy holiday to Martin. He's on holiday right now.
Oh, is he on holiday? Oh, yeah. Nice. Good job, Martin. Cool podcast there, my man. And that's the thing for anyone listening, Photon John and I, we sometimes enjoy just not having, because I can tell you what, like when we have guests on, there's actually a lot involved with it, wouldn't you say, Photon John?
Yeah, a lot goes on behind the scenes. And
we've got to get questions together. We have to organize the time for when the people are coming.
Sometimes have to deal with a mad rush of technical issues right before we start.
Totally. So sometimes for us, having like a podcast like this where it's just Photon John and I speaking about a topic, it's actually almost like a holiday for us, wouldn't you say, mate? It sort of feels relaxing, right?
Yeah, and it's kind of how we came up with the idea for the podcast in the first place, because we were having these chats and we were just like, this would be a really good podcast. So, yeah.
We would. We'd be like, man, we should put this into a podcast. It would be cool. Maybe one day we should even, like, have some drinks and do the podcast or something, mate. What I mean? That would be funny, man. But not like legless type of thing, but just having some nice chill drinks or something like that. But
yeah, it'd be cool to do a hangout one day.
Totally. Cool, my man. Well, you're looking well. Thank you so much for joining me today, my man.
Cheers, my friend.
It's been a pleasure. And for everyone listening, if you haven't already done so, please subscribe, like, and follow all to our social media platforms. Subscribe to our website at openheartedsociety.com. And please, if you're interested in jumping on the podcast, please reach out to us through our website would probably be the best. But besides that, we're all ready to rock and roll. My name's Will Wheeler, joined with my main man, Photon John, and this is the Open Hearted Podcast. Until next time.